Today, I'm going to talk to you about why most training plans fail and how to build one that actually works. I'm going to be specifically talking about program design on reverse engineering. So that basically what that means is that we start with the end in mind, and then we're just going to work backwards from there. So a good example of this is, let's say I want to lose 20 pounds in, let's say, about 5 months. So that's just under a pound per week if I go for about 5 months. So I know that right around the 5 month mark, or about the, let's just say 20 weeks out from today, that I should be at that 20th pound. And that 19 weeks, I should be at 19. And we just reverse engineer from there. That's if I want to lose about a pound per week, which is very reasonable and very sustainable and can be done in a very healthy way. So I actually know what my targets are every week. And I have all these micro goals that I want to hit every week, which makes it very helpful because I kind of know when it's going to happen. Because if you set a goal out in the distance with a reasonable timeline, which is going to push you, but is also realistic. And this is why it's so important to have a coach to have context on this, on how long something is going to actually take. And you reverse engineer from there, we can actually very predictably measure if we're going to attain our goal or not, or learn a skill, lose weight, do a CrossFit competition, whatever. It just depends on what that is. And so ultimately, you just have to, the first step in this is you have to define what your ultimate goal is. So what are you aiming for? So are you aiming for weight loss, like I said in that first example? Are you doing a CrossFit competition in the next 5 months? Or are you looking to do a muscle up in the 5 months? So it doesn't matter what your goal is, but reverse engineering is one of the most important ways that how I like to design my training protocols, because one of the first things that I learned from my coach was that I noticed that he would benchmark me. So we'd have all these benchmarks lined up, right? And I would see the benchmarks because I would see the workouts far in advance. Now, all of them would be done, but I would see the benchmarks in, like, you know, about 3 to 6 months out. But I would also see what the deload was. So he'd actually write the benchmarks for the testing week, and I would see that. And then from there, he'd actually have the entire week leading up to my benchmark week already pre-programmed out, which was a deload week to make me ready. So I'm looking at all these things and I'm like, man, how does he know what to do already? And it's very simple. Is that he just started with the end in mind and it's just started working backwards. So he had the deload week, and before that he had the peak week. And then he knew that there was a ramp up phase. So now it's like, oh my goodness. So now I can kind of see the progression. And when you work backwards, you know exactly how you're going to train someone and what that, and hopefully predictably make a result for them in the first place. So there's obviously some clear benefits of having a finish line here, which is extremely important, because if you don't know what you're aiming for, then, you know, you're just going to be someone who just procrastinates and you're never going to get there. So you have to visualize your success daily and make sure that you have a clear vision with whatever you have in mind. So if you don't know me, I'm Matt Banwer. I own Red Bull CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California, with my wife, Caitlin. And we start this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. So over the past, about 18 years or so, I've helped over 10,000 people reach their fitness goals. So I do have some, and I've been programming a lot. I've written thousands of training programs. And this is the one thing that I use very frequently, especially when someone has a very specific goal in mind. And then we just work backwards from there. So we have to map the road back. So we already went over kind of like the first piece, which is just starting with the end in mind. Now let's move into actually mapping the road back. So you want to break down the goal into key milestones. So there should be like little mini things along the way, that which not only help keep you motivated, but also will allow you to know if you're actually on the right track to hit those targets, okay? So it kind of does this, where we kind of start, I know if you're listening to this, you can't see me, but I have one hand up over here, my right hand is up over here, my left hand is up on the other side of the mic. And so we have our end game, and we have where we're at now. So we start with our goal, which is right here on my right hand. My left hand is our starting point. And then from there, I'm going to start kind of working backwards on what I want to achieve and where I should be at before, even before I hit that goal. So what are some milestones I need to hit right before I hit that goal? So if it's, let's just, weight loss is an easy example. So just like earlier, at week 19, I should be at 19 pounds, okay? At week 20, I should have lost 20 pounds. And then we just kind of work backwards all the way. And then I'm like, okay, well, what are the activities I need to do each week in order to hit those milestones? And that's exactly why we need to identify the skills, the resources, and the habits that I need for each step. And that's what a coach is there to help you do, is to break down these key benchmarks for you. And then we're going to talk, let's talk about how this applies to both fitness routines and coaching programs. So when I'm designing a training program, at least from a coach's perspective, I want to make sure that I have every detail lined out. Okay. So what I do is I do start at the end, but I'm also aware where we're starting. And then my goal is when I design a training program is to have them actually meet in the middle. So I'll actually start with like the first. So I know how I'm going to deload them. I know I'm going to test them. I know what our benchmarks are. And then from there, I have the deload week. And then before that, I have a peak week. And before that, I probably have about a 2 to 3 week ramp up phase to that peak week. And the peak week being the most intense week before we deload. Okay. So in there, I already have like a 4 to 5 week plan already on how exactly we're going to get to whatever the goal is. And then I also have our starting point. So I'm like, now I'm aware of where we currently are in terms of skills, fitness, benchmarks, whatever we have, whatever data we have. And then once I start doing that, then my goal is to actually start progressing that person also to where we kind of meet in the middle, okay, like a little sandwich. And that's where you got to fill in the gaps, right? So, and this does take some skill, take some time because so 9 times out of 10, you don't hit everything, of course, but you can get really close and it can be very done predictably. Of course, there's always things that come up like either sickness, travel, missed training sessions, and that's okay, but you always take into account for that and you try and pivot it and you just get to as close to that target as you can. And most of the times that you do actually get really close, even if you don't hit it, you get really close, which is good, especially if someone adheres to the training protocols. Now a CrossFit program is designed from competition is always going from the goals backwards. I already used that example from my coach, and this is also what I do with our CrossFit classes as well, is that we will look at what we have from our current benchmark week. We'll start building out what we want to work on as a whole for the group. And then from there, we also know what our next benchmarks are going to be, or if we're going to repeat those. And we're like, okay, we look at the same training and we're like, okay, well, what got us from point A to point B is then we're going to take us from point C to point D. So what we want to do is reverse engineer that from the benchmark week that we have. And then we're just going to work backwards from there. So again, same concept. We have that deload week right before benchmark week. We make sure that we peak the classes on about the 2 weeks out. And then from there, we go through a pretty intense phase of about 3 to 4 weeks of where we're training really hard with both intensity and volume. And then from there, when we have those first 4 weeks done, we also look at where we're currently at. And then again, we just kind of progress them as much as we can to where we can kind of meet them to where we want them to be about 4 weeks out. So that's kind of like how we fill in the gaps there. And of course, you have to evaluate your current starting point versus your end goal. And that's why it has to be realistic. And this is why timelines are very important. Because you can't expect to go from, you know, zero pull-ups to a muscle-up in 4 weeks. It's just not going to happen, right? And then there's all these gimmicky programs out there where it's like, hey, you know, couch to 5K in 2 days. It's like, no, that's not going to work. Because everyone is going to respond to training differently. And also, there's a lot of unpredictable and other variables that come into play when you're training people. And this is what makes it hard. This is what makes it both a science and an art, because you have to coach people through it to where they'll actually adhere to the training program. But you also have to make, so in other words, you have to make it kind of fun and exciting and enticing to where they actually do it. You know, think of it like a dessert, right? Like the dessert looks amazing. Of course you're going to eat it. If a dessert looks like crap, it doesn't matter if it tastes good, that you're probably not going to want to eat it. So same thing with your training programs, is that if the program looks like it's going to be fun, looks like it's going to get you to where you want to go, of course you're more likely to stick with it. But you, at the same time, if you only make fun workouts, it's going to be not as effective, as you could say, as nicely as I can put it. So you want to make sure that the training protocols in place are going to be effective and also will make the person actually adhere to the training protocols and actually do the work that it takes to get there. So as a coach, you know, our work here is really kind of when we are at that starting point and we're at our end goal, we have to identify the gaps, whether that's skills, knowledge, or resources, and we have to make sure that we can close that in as close to where we want to go as much as possible. And we bridge these gaps with, you know, education, training, progressive overload with incremental progress and habit building. We also want to make sure that we have flexibility with this training program and that we regularly reassess. So every week we do look at it, or at least I look at my training programs and I'm like, okay, what was the adherence rate? Were they at least a 90% on the adherence rate? Are they recovering okay? Is the volume, intensity, and frequency manageable? So there's always constantly reassessing. And that's why, like, you know, we can never really plan perfectly, but at least if we have something down week by week of what's going to happen, and at least we can have like a template down that we can work with. And then from there, we can kind of make tweaks as we go to where we can at least get as close to that target as we can. Now, some actionable steps to actually build out a training program. So you have to design each phase of your program with clear objectives, okay? Now, everyone's different. Now, you can train, go into like 2 to 4 week phases. You can do week by week. You could do big blocks up to 90 days. It doesn't really matter. But as long as you are, as a coach, as long as you are in a phase with clear objectives and little mini benchmarks along the way to reassess progress and make sure that they're actually improving, because if you don't collect data, then you have no idea if the person you're working with or the group you're working with is actually improving. So it's really important that you have clear objectives and that you have exactly what you want them to hit either each week or each phase. And then you have to integrate feedback and adjustments over time as well. So you have to talk to the people who are training underneath you, and you have to make sure that they're both enjoying the training and are also seeing progress from the training itself, because at the end of the day, it's all about them. It's not about you. So you need to make sure that you're collecting that feedback and you're also adjusting for each thing. So if they're not progressing, then you need to make a tweak to it, either intensity, volume, or frequency, which is the core three of all training protocols. You also have to make sure that you're integrating feedback to the point where they're actually enjoying the training program as well. And then there's also different tools and techniques you can do this as well. You always want to make sure that you have some sort of tracking system and writing it down, so that way you can take notes on everyone. I take notes religiously on my phone, and I just put it like a little notepad, what went well, what didn't go well, what tweaks I can make, and how I can constantly improve. It's always about this, like, everyone thinks that it's like one, that the magic when it comes to a training system is just some silver bullet, when really it's just 100 golden BBs. It's just all these small little tweaks here and there, all these little conversations, all these little feedback points, and all these little benchmarks that you figure out, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna make a small tweak here, that should help. And it's all about constantly optimizing. And I think a lot of coaches will like stump themselves and they'll just stare at their laptop trying to design the perfect training program, when you just have to get something down that is 80 to 90% good of what you think it is, because it's going to end up changing anyways, because there's always going to be a road bump. There's road bumps every week when in my training programs where I'm like, oh, that was stupid. Oh, that didn't work. If that did work. And then you're constantly making tweaks and you're constantly getting feedback and being like, okay, what do you want to work on? Do you feel like you're progressing in here? You know, what do you think of this? What if we integrate this? And then it's just constantly just kind of going back and forth and figure out what works best for the individual, because everybody will respond to training differently. And that's something I have to emphasize over and over again, is that templated programs, and this is what we try and do the best in our group classes with, is we try and make tweaks to each individual as much as possible, even though it's not perfect, but we want to get to close as perfect as we can. And then you also have to be constantly evolving and not being afraid to be wrong. And I think a lot of coaches do that too. They're so afraid to program the wrong thing or to be wrong in front of their members or athletes, when it's okay. It's okay to write a bad workout or a bad training program and being like, okay, that didn't work out, never doing that again. But it allows you to redirect, and which is extremely important. And it's definitely a mindset shift, because, you know, you have to go from, you know, reactive to proactive. Okay, so instead of reacting when something does go wrong, you'll be proactive in your planning and be like, okay, well, noted, that didn't work. But on the other hand, this does work. And a lot of learning how to write good training programs is figure out what doesn't work. And the only way to do that is to not only experiment on yourself, but don't be afraid to push the limits with your members and your clients, as long as you're not putting them in any harm's way, which you probably aren't. But I see this drastically in undertraining people, actually, is I see this more, that people are undertrained than they are overtrained. And it's just because I think a lot of coaches are afraid to actually push people. And it's the one thing that I've had to learn too, is that fine line between making someone extremely uncomfortable, but they're also still safe. And that's a very difficult thing to find. And this is why I'm a huge fan of more in-person coaching rather than remote or online coaching, because when I can actually see someone's facial expression and I can see how they react to the training itself, that gives me so much feedback and being like, okay, was this too hard or not enough? Body language tells me a lot when I watch someone do either a workout or, you know, do some of the training that I did. and then just seeing how they recover from that, getting feedback. Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your body feeling today? Any pain, any soreness? Where are we at? You know, talk to me, and then allows me to make adjustments on the fly, which I do very frequently. If you've ever done personal training with me, you know that I've had to make adjustments probably with you on the completely on the fly, where I've just been like, okay, well, we're scrapping that plan. We're doing this instead, and just had to make something up completely that it was not on my lesson plan. And that's okay. Sometimes you just have to do that. Now we're going to move into overcoming challenges and staying motivated. Okay. So this is why, actually, before I go into that, let's talk about common obstacles and when reverse engineering a plan. So the most common one when you're reverse engineering is just the fact that it's never going to go to plan. Okay, Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And like whether or not someone gets sick, they miss a few days, the volume is too much, the intensity is too high, or either that or it's not enough. So there's just so many variables that go into it, but the most common obstacle is just simply the fact that, is more adherence. So missing training, or just, you know, getting sick, whatever. I already said that, but that is one of the most common obstacles that I see. Another common obstacle I see is they just don't react as well as I would think to either the volume, intensity, or frequency. And so I have to make tweaks from there as well. So those are probably the big two that I would say are the biggest obstacles towards reverse engineering a plan, because you can have like such a good like final 4 or 3 weeks leading up to it, but then someone's elbow is hurting. They're just not feeling it. They're really tired. They're not sleeping well. They're high stress at work. So it's a lot of more like lifestyle and out of the gym stuff that we have to deal with as coaches than it really is in the gym stuff. I think that's a much better way to put it than what I said earlier. But it happens, and you have to make adjustments from there, and that's okay. And some quick fixes and mindset hacks for actually staying on track is just to trust the program, okay? So if you're an athlete, you're a coach, trust your program, see it through. I mean, like I said, you do want to make tweaks to it, but you don't want to constantly be changing everything last minute just because you found something cool on Instagram. You want to stick to your gut and trust yourself with what you wrote, and then that's how you test and retest things and see if it actually works. And, you know, most of the time it will work as long as people stick with the program and they're actually have like a 90% adherence rate, that they will see progress from their training. Now, some success stories, I guess a success story from fitness and coaching was that, I'll just talk about mine. Was I remember when I first started training and I was doing Russian step ups and I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world, because at the time I was just like, I was all about traditional CrossFit, like, you know, just strength, Metcon, and that's it. And then I started doing more aerobic intervals, started doing more rowing intervals, which were boring, but I still did them because I wanted to get better. I started doing more bodybuilding stuff like single arm dumbbell rows, Russian step ups. And at first I thought I was really stupid. I'm like, how is this going to make me better at CrossFit? But it increased my durability. It got me stronger, it increased my aerobic base. And I got so much better just from doing those things that I thought were stupid. And I just trusted my coach and I went from there. And I got so much better at CrossFit just by doing some of the things that you would never think would actually be beneficial towards doing CrossFit. So it's one of those things where it was a good lesson for me just to stick to the plan. And regardless of what I thought, I had to trust whoever was smarter than me, who was writing my training program, that they had knew what was best for me. And it's probably the best piece of advice I can give someone who's training under a coach or something, or something of that matter, is that you may think that, or you may see something that looks stupid, but at the end of the day, that they're the coach and you're not, they're smarter than you. And they've been doing this a lot longer. So just trust them because they know what's better. And it's okay to ask for explanation. And a good coach will totally give it to you and tell you the reason why you're doing something. But at the end of the day, just don't do something or skip something because you think it's boring. Okay. Like, sorry, it's not sexy, but it's going to make you better. I mean, that's like kind of fitness in general, right? I mean, if we did only the things we like to do in CrossFit, guess what? We wouldn't be very good at CrossFit. That's kind of the whole point, is being as well-rounded as possible. And sometimes that means doing things you don't like and doing things you suck at, because that's all part of the fun, I guess. Now, I know this was a short podcast today, but there wasn't a whole lot to talk about it. I just want to talk about reverse engineering because it's a very integral part on how I design my training programs. And I thought this would be helpful for you guys because you can apply this to anything. Whatever goal you have set in mind, is that you can look at that and then just be like, okay, well, what's the step behind that? So instead of, you just got to flip it upside down, right? So instead of being like, well, how do I get there? Be like, okay, if I were there already, what was the step before that that got me there? And then what was the step that's most likely got me there? And then just keep working backwards all the way to the point where you're at your starting point. And then boom, you have a roadmap there for success that you can actually get there with. And then that will actually kind of give you an idea if you're actually on the right track along the way, and then make it, allow you to make adjustments too. And then as long as you document that journey, you'll be able to look back and be like, okay, well, this worked, this didn't work. And then that will help you, guess what, on the next journey or on the next benchmark or the next endeavor that you go on. So it's a really good skill to have. I'm sure some of you already do this or have heard of it before, but I really encourage you to do this in a fitness context because it will really help you kind of have an idea of how long something's actually going to take. Because a lot of times people get frustrated or they give up on fitness because they don't see progress or they don't have an idea of what you know, small little incremental gains look like. And then this will allow you to kind of see that. So at the end of the day, you know, goal setting is very important, mapping out milestones. And I recommend something weekly just because that will keep you mentally in the game. You know, we want to fill the gaps. So we want to start our end game. We have our starting point, fill in the gaps in between. You want actionable steps in there as well. And, you know, when you are moving forward through this, just know that at the end of the day, adherence and consistency and doing the right things the right way at the right time for the right amount of time is ultimately what's going to get to your goals. Well, thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave me a 5-star review or share this with a friend. And I will see you on the next one.